Wired Jesus Podcast, January 22nd, 2010. Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings for Postmodern Culture.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Liebrick, and I'm glad you've come along for our journey together.
And they don't think I know a buttload of crap about the gospel, but I do.
You know, Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Hmm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
Man, that was God's way of telling you to let me go, I think.
Yeah, we must serve different gods, because mine is saying shoot you and throw you over that cliff.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Pat Robertson. What in the world do you do with this guy? After getting his start back in the 80s heyday of the first evangelical televangelists, it was him and Jerry Falwell and Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. Pat has become a continual embarrassment to Christians in North America. His latest comments about the earthquake in Haiti were so far off the wall that religious and secular commentators alike have demanded apologies, insinuated mental illness, and alternated between clarifying that Pat does not speak for most Christians, or if you're of a secular mindset, holding Pat up as the prime example of why religious people should be institutionalized or marginalized or excluded from elected office. You know, at first, you can hardly blame that kind of response. I mean, just listen to what Pat has said before as compiled in a 10 most stupid things that Pat Robertson has ever said. Like this. Just like what Nazi Germany did to the Jews, so liberal America is now doing to the evangelical Christians. It's no different, it's the same thing, it's happening all over again. It's the Democratic Congress, the liberal-based media, and the homosexuals who want to destroy the Christians. Wholesale abuse and discrimination and the worst bigotry directed at any group in America today, more terrible than anything suffered by any minority in history. Or how about this? He said this in response to Gay Days at Disney World in Orlando, which it's not an official park event, but nonetheless. He said this: I would warn Orlando that you're right in the way of some serious hurricanes. I don't think I'd be waving those flags in God's face if I were you. This is not a message of hate. It's a message of redemption. But a condition like this will bring about the destruction of your nation. It'll bring about terrorist bombs. It'll bring earthquakes, tornadoes, and possibly a meteor. Yeah. Or, the feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It's about a socialist, anti-family, political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians. Way to go. And then, of course, there was last week. It may be a blessing in disguise. Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. Haitians were originally under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III or whatever. And they got together and swore a pact with the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you get us free of the French." True story. So the devil said, "Okay, it's a deal," and ever since they've been cursed by one thing after another. He sounds like a nut. He's not the person you want speaking for God. He's not the person you want defending God. And yet, in the face of the massive destruction in Haiti, the nearly incomprehensible tragedy of a nation being functionally destroyed, and seeing in its wreckage nothing but collapsed buildings and tens of thousands of corpses lying in the streets among the living, there's a core human desire to explain it, to put blame on somebody for it, and give ourselves as observers some kind of peace and comfort that such seemingly random disasters will not happen to us. So you've seen in the news over the last week or so, Danny Glover implies that the earthquake was a result of the failed climate change conference in Copenhagen, as if the planet somehow realized that a human vote failed and is now punishing the human race. Now, he doesn't explain the choice of devastating one of the poorest nations in the world rather than one of its greatest polluters, like China or Russia or even the U.S., but it must be explained by blame. Last Friday night, ABC News had its reporters in Haiti walking the streets, talking with people. And I really found it odd. Being freshly showered and with clean clothes made them stand out much more than the fact that they were all white. Walking among the refugees and the dead bodies, you could see the entire scene was having an effect on these folks. What was the focus of their reporting? Well, they were asking, why were the poorest parts of town not seeing any rescue units, while a hotel for Westerners had a dog search team and people with tools? Why was an aide rolling into the airport, getting into Port-au-Prince, while the wealthy outskirts of town were seeing trucks and troops? The head of Catholic Social Services and then a leader of the rescue team from the U.S., were asked these things, and they gave logical responses. There's no heavy equipment on the ground. The roads to the cities were, to the heart of the city, was blocked by rubble, bodies, and tent cities. They could only get to the outskirts first. Their explanations were greeted with dire warnings of all the people who had to die because of their decisions, and would die because those who came to help didn't get there soon enough, or played favorites for the wealthy, or weren't really committed. And then there was the CNN Sunday morning program I caught before I left for church. After a couple days earlier, they had covered the rescue of an 11-year-old girl. The reporters and the anchor team announced that she later died in the hospital. praying to God and thanking God for her life as her family sang hymns. The reporter's tagline? Was it fate, chance, or the very God she was praying to that caused this girl to suffer and die? You know, no one really talked about the ports being destroyed, or there was only one working runway in the entire country for cargo jets. Certainly no one made mention of the fact that press housing was at the airport with security, showers, and food, as if that was somehow inconsistent with the hungry outside their camp perimeter. That's not part of the equation of blame and tragedy. Someone has to be at fault. So now who sounds like a nut? 5 years ago, when I first started podcasting, podcasters mobilized in the wake of the Indonesian tsunami, and then again with Katrina, doing special podcasts, posting links for donations, using our resources in some small way there out in land where our podcasts live, to in some small way help those in need. In the midst of all that, I did a podcast on God and evil after many requests to wrestle with that question. Looking back, that seems to have been the question for the year, and if anything, probably the recurring questions for Christians. Podcast 14 and 15 were on Dave Slusher's podcast on why he didn't believe in God coming out of his personal tragedies. Podcast 17 was on Katrina. Podcast 19 was on my reflections on the death of a teen in our community, killed in a car accident, who at the time I had met since she went to school with my oldest son. And the questions come back to the same thing. Why and who is to blame when disaster strikes or tragedy happens? And what should people do when the world seems to go wrong? The old custom in the Bible was that of the scapegoat. Once a year, a goat would be brought to the center of the village, and everyone would lay their sins upon it in a religious ritual. You would physically touch the animal, and every cry and complaint, every blame that you needed to place outside yourself, every hidden secret that you concealed, was symbolically placed on the goat. Then, they would drive it out in the wilderness to die, out into the place of demons, to be consumed. Some way to appease the demons and God. As Christians, we say that is what Jesus dying on the cross is about. God taking on the blame we so eagerly heap upon God and our neighbor. Not once a year, but once for all. It's kind of like this. You can't figure out the world. You hurt from things in your life. You are in pain over what you see. Don't just blame God. Give it over. Drive it out. Crucify it. And God says He'll take it all. Now who sounds crazy? If there is a God, that sounds like God is nuts. It's like lying down in a fire ant hill and letting them sting you if you know that in some way it's going to save the ants from destruction. Not that they'll ever understand it. And so if you believe this whole Jesus thing, you know, you really don't sound that different from Pat Robertson. At least Pat's consequences make a crazy kind of sense. But a God who doesn't explain why tragedies happen, but only gives you a relationship of love in the midst of life, including being present in every tragedy and evil we can't explain. Well, what good is that? It's what some folks ask. But you know what? On some deep level, we really do understand. And I think that's why we are continually drawn back to the spiritual journey. As a child, when you hurt, what makes you feel better? It's a kiss from mom or being held on dad's lap. And it's not logical. It's certainly not medicinal. It's all relational. And that's what makes the difference for us as a child. And that's how God becomes real now. Not as Pat Robertson's vengeful God, not the media's sadistic puppet master, and not Danny Glover's fickle Mother Earth. God is revealed in Jesus, who has invited us to call him Daddy. Perhaps that's why it seems most of the people who are down there in Haiti to help aren't really being interviewed. Christian relief workers aren't there to explain God. They've come to be the hands of God. People hurt. People are in pain. People are dying. And that's where Jesus' followers are called to go so Jesus can take on flesh once again and care for his people. It's what the cross is about. The cross we bear is not an explanation. It's an embrace. It is love that triumphs over tragedy by not trying to justify it. Instead, we enter it and overcome it as Jesus becomes present in us, as God's love becomes real. Now there I go. Now I sound nuts. As Jesus once told a crowd in his day when a tower collapsed in a town and many people were killed, he said, "Don't believe for one minute that those folks were worse sinners than you and somehow deserved this death. We're all going to die. And life with God is the only answer to death." So Jesus is saying something different than what Pat Robertson is saying, or anyone else for that matter, that you seem to hear on TV. The Haitians didn't bring this disaster upon themselves any more than a teenager who got T-boned by a drunk driver, or a child who was born with autism, or the passengers who crashed into the World Trade Center. To put it in terms of the cross, and really to put it most offensively, the bumper sticker you often see is right. Shit happens. when it does, that's where you will find God. The Regina Spektor song, Laughing With, that I posted earlier this week, makes the same point. If you listen to this podcast, go find that link and watch the video, listen to the words, go find the lyrics and read them. Life with God happens in the midst of tragedy. It doesn't cause it. It doesn't prevent it. It gets us through the pain. Because that's when God enters the real world with us, so we know we aren't alone. And some people just don't get that. And some Christians get crazy because of it. So perhaps it only makes sense if you can still remember being held by your daddy after falling down, or being kissed by your mom after you cut yourself. That's the God who's in Haiti. And that's the Jesus who's becoming real among the people who are there. That's what I believe. And that means Pat Robertson thinks I'm nuts. Well, I can live with a God like that. That's it for Wired Jesus, podcast number 51. Well, you may have already made contributions to the Red Cross or other agencies for Haiti relief. I've included some links here just in case. One compliment to our denominational agency, Lutheran Disaster Relief. It's one of the few in which 100% of your donations go directly to relief. Another one to check out is Food for the Poor, a wonderful agency that operates exclusively in the Caribbean and just opened up their relief station earlier this week and fed 15,000 people on the first day. They're rated one of the best relief agencies. So check out those links. And as always, check me out on Facebook and on Twitter. And if you can post some more comments on my iTunes page, that would be welcome. And while you won't see all the past podcasts there on the iTunes page, it only goes back to number 50 because of these programming glitches with WordPress and such. The entire library does appear in your podcast listing. So if you go up to podcasts and have the drop down of what you've already downloaded, there should be a whole series of tabs for getting more if you haven't received the past ones. If you don't happen to see those tabs, resubscribe and they should all appear. Worked for me at least. The only way really to get them back on the main page and into the full library would be to reload all 49 of the previous ones, and that would mean you would get all of them again by RSS, and I'm not sure you really want to be deluged with that. That wouldn't bother you. Yeah, let me know. We'll see what we can do. Also, since I've been asked recently, yes, I'm still available to consult with congregations and pastors with Wired Jesus on the road. While I am full-time here in Findlay, I do have the opportunity and ability to make a few trips every year. My most recent consults have been integrating media and multi-sensory elements into alternative worship, as well as helping congregations integrate social networking into their ministry strategy. So if any of you pastor people have an interest in that, let me know. So, until the next podcast, thanks for listening. See you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two. I wrote that. Yeah.